This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
D'Amico Ryans, he's very excited about being the Houston Texans' next head coach.
When it came down to it, there is no place I wanted to be any more than H-Town. So it was an easy pick for me. It was a no-brainer to be here, all right, be home. It was a no-brainer. So it wasn't a difficult decision at all. It was very easy.
I said earlier that I wonder how that's being taken in Denver today. You know, those are the two teams that D'Amico Ryans interviewed with, the Denver Broncos, many of whom thought he was for sure going there
because
they won a Super Bowl a few years ago.
Of course he loves it here. He's the guy. He's the favorite.
Right.
These little minions out there.
All of them. Yeah.
Of course he wouldn't be interested in Houston.
How could he be? It turns out that's all he wanted to do was come back to Houston. And I said those comments, the part where he called Houston a no-brainer, they're going to pick up traction in Denver. Now, we have a texter here on the Trailer Wheel and Frame text page, 8104, says, Sean, I'm listening to y'all on the Odyssey app and just heard you comment at 7:05 about Ryan's comment that the Texans' job is a no-brainer. It is gaining traction in Denver. You're totally correct. I woke up to see in my Apple News feed that there are Broncos bloggers saying his comment was at least a passive-aggressive swipe at their team. Which, by the way, I pared that cut down just now to use as a bump into the show today. The full version of that cut, Ben, do you have the full version of Ryan 7? He says nice things about the Broncos.
Well, right, yeah, but that's not the part that gets...
But I just want to, for D'Amico's sake, I just want to point out that he did say this was the beginning of that cut.
Thanks for the question, John. I'm thankful for the Denver Broncos, and we had great interviews there, great people there, but when it came down to it, there is no place I wanted to be.
Other than Houston, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
So I think that, look, I feel like if you're from Denver and you're finding a way to take offense at that somehow, like, you're being willfully ignorant because you're ignoring the fact that D'Amico played here.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like D'Amico randomly decided, like, you know what, I'm going to pick the team that I'd really love to go play for. It's out of all these factors, it's the Houston Texans with no connection to him. Like, obviously, he played here. His wife is from here. There are a lot of reasons that he wanted to come back here that nobody should take any offense to. Now, I guess the interesting thing would be is if you found out how much did Denver really want him. If D'Amico turned down Sean Payton-level money, blood money, I like to call it, if D'Amico turned down that amount of money and took a lesser deal at Houston, would that pour some salt on the wound at all? Are we going to make Denver realize, boy, we really did just take the prostitute here in Sean Payton.
Yeah.
The guy that was
didn't even
want us, but finally we paid him enough money.
We're going to pay a guy who's never coached a game as a head coach more the money than Bill Belichick? He said no? Yeah.
It's that old W.C. Fields bit where he asks a woman, like, will you sleep with me for $10? And she says, God, no. And then he says, okay, well, how about if it's $1 million? And she says, okay, yes. And then he says, well, okay. Well, you know what? I don't have $1 million. How about 10? She said, what kind of a woman do you think I am? He says, well, we've already established that. I'm just negotiating price. So So
it's a lesson for life, kids.
Sean Payton has established what he is now. Yes. He just had to establish his price.
A dime store whore is what he is.
We all are. Yeah, like I wouldn't go coach the Broncos.
No, I would too. I'm one also. I'm just
a man who am adamantly opposed to going into coaching because I would. I know I would hate
25
it.
$25 million Yeah,
I still wouldn't do it. Actually,
really?
No,
really?
No, okay. No. Life's too short, man.
Yeah,
life's too short.
Just do it for like a few weeks. You know,
pick up. Because I've already like I could make more. I could make a lot more money in coaching like than doing this. Yeah. I'm very happy with what I make here.
Sure.
I could make a lot of money in coaching, but right. That's not what
it's
I
want. It's not your lifestyle
yeah.
that you want. Yeah. You got to you lead a good life.
Yeah. I'm going to take on, you know why? I'd feel like a whore. I'd be sitting there like 3 months into just being called all sorts of names and losing and not trying to figure out why we're losing. Yeah. I love how in my brain like that. My team is losing.
You
because
suck.
It would be. I don't want to be there. I'm just doing it for the money.
And you don't do dishonest. You would say in your press conferences, like, so what's the problem, Seth? Like, I hate coaching. I've been saying that.
So I wouldn't do it.
Let's rapid fire these winners and losers. Four winners, four losers from the D'Amico Ryans decision to come here. I'd say winner number one, the 2022 rookie class, specifically the three players on defense that were drafted in the first, second, and third rounds of the 2022 draft. Stingley, Petrie, Christian Harris, here's what D'Amico had to say about them.
Sure, that's what excites me the most, is being able to work with young guys and young guys who are talented. Stingley has outstanding talent, scouted him the last year, and I know the talent that he has, know the competitor that he is. Right, going to put him in position to make a lot of plays for us. Right, put him in a position where he can excel and showcase his talents. Right, seeing Jalen Petrie, loved him coming out of Baylor, loved the blitzing, loved the just the play speed of Petrie, and just to see him come out this past year and the way five interceptions, the way he attacked the ball, man, Jalen, we got to continue to do that. Right, we got to continue to take the ball away. Christian, linebacker, fast, right, physical linebacker. Those are the type of players. Right, we can build around. So that does excite me when you have the young talent that we have here. That does excite me.
All right. So of those three, who are you most excited to see play in, assuming the system D'Amico uses is the one that he's been using?
I think, honestly, Jalen Petrie, just because he can be that type of a it's fun to watch guys like that play. Like when you watch Hufanga for the 49ers play. Like, oh, okay, there's a guy who idolized Troy Polamalu growing up, so he plays a lot like Troy Polamalu because D'Amico put him in position to play like Troy Polamalu. If you watch Hufanga, too, when he blitzes, this is one of these things that's very evident when you watch certain defenses. You can tell how good the defensive coordinator is by the disguise of the blitz and the timing of the blitz. Mm-hmm. Those are little attention to detail things that quarterbacks pick up on. You know, whenever Tom Brady stops a snap count and adjusts it, it's because some dumbass safety started to creep up towards the line and screwed everybody. You know, stupid. So it's the worst, Sean. It's the worst because you're in your stance. You're in your stance. So
you got to stand there longer.
Well, yeah. You just know that you're screwed because it's a guy Brady. Like Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
And you know, like, say I know we got a safety blitz on, and I can tell, like, all right,
here
whatever Peyton just did, I can tell that he just flipped it over to the left side, and our blitz was coming from the other side. And just, all right, cool. Let's have fun in this play. Let's go, guys. Go, team. So
that is tremendous insight.
Dumbass safety.
That is great.
That's an exaggeration.
Sure.
But like, D'Amico's defense plays like that.
Yeah.
The way that D'Amico's secondary plays, it's with a lot of discipline, and you know, he has really good talent with Fred Warner at middle linebacker, but D'Amico used Fred Warner, who he coached, by the way, from the time he was a rookie onward, to make life easier for the safeties too. So everything kind of fits together, and yeah, I think that ends up being with Petrie, a guy who's just all over the field and doing a lot of like fun Tyrann Mathieu type of stuff.
Oh, yeah. That sounds fun. Second winner. Four winners, four losers on the D'Amico hire. And you pointed this out the other day.
Slow down.
You pointed this out the other day. We'll rapid fire this.
I mean,
time.
I better. Yeah.
The TBD QB. The to-be-determined QB. If it's Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud, you said the other day, the hiring of D'Amico Ryans is great news for the young quarterback.
I do think that, look, D'Amico understands the value and appeal of the way all the guys that he's worked with, especially, I mean, he's played under Andy Reid and learned from him. He's worked under Kyle Shanahan, played under Gary Kubiak, played under Chip Kelly. Those guys try to make things as simple and easy as possible for players to succeed. And it's just as simple as that. There are coaches out there that just want to do everything and offensively with man blocking and just line up and smash, you know, just physically win the other. Yeah, you got to do that, but you also got to be helped out with the scheme. And if you watch Brock Purdy this year, yes, it was impressive what Brock Purdy did, but you got to understand that there were games in which the receivers had, they averaged 10 yards after the catch. Like, it was a whole lot of scheming guys open with room to run afterwards. And that also comes with personnel.
Yep.
Specifically, if you trade for a Christian McCaffrey at some point,
that helps.
That makes a kind of
granted,
a big
you're not
difference.
Drafting till 2026, but
yeah. Well, San Francisco, I mean, they had kind of, they started playing that way when McCaffrey got there.
Right.
There were a couple of games at Garoppolo with McCaffrey,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, Purdy was a beneficiary of it. And he did a good job for yep. a rookie, but it was a lot of just personnel and scheme, too.
Third winner. The Texans ticket office.
Yeah, those folks are happy.
I'm very happy for them that the phone is ringing for things other than people complaining about the team.
I think just the entire...
As if Trey Young and his staff and John Schriever are supposed to solve the issues on the field.
Yeah. I think the entire front office staff and a lot of those employees, the PR people and everything, maybe some of them who have been with the team for 2 or 3 years, this might have been their first glimpse of working in the fun NFL.
Yeah. It's supposed to be fun.
Wow, look at this.
Yeah.
Actually... fervor.
Yeah. Wait, can you imagine the ones that have been there only since like the beginning of the David Culley era?
Yeah.
And they got the memo that, hey, we're all going to go stand out on the second story balcony overlooking the lobby, and we're going to give a standing ovation to our head coach as he walks in the building. Like, really?
Yeah, and you know, because even with Lovie Smith, it was a breath of fresh air when Lovie came in compared to Culley, because Lovie was a competent head coach at least. But the energy level is not, you know, one that feels like Dad's taking us to the water park.
No, this is juice right here.
It felt like, yeah, it felt like Mom settled for an adequate stepdad. And you're like, all right, cool.
He's with Lovie, you mean?
Yeah. Like, okay, like, you know, someone, like when Lovie took over, you're like, okay, cool. Like,
right.
At least we've got stability in the household now. And I'm never going to love this guy or call him dad or anything.
Right.
But he seems to be a stand-up dude.
Right. Now Mom married Batman. Yes. My new dad has a cave with a car in it, and he drives around foiling crimes.
But without
he's
all the,
incredible.
Batman had his hang-ups, too, though. So, like, he's like a Batman who'd been to therapy.
I love him getting well actually on a Batman comparison by only Seth Payne. That's great.
Bruce Wayne was a...
He had issues, for sure. So Texans,
I don't need to be raised by no Nepo baby.
Texans ticket off. Which superhero would you most want to be raised by as a stepkid?
Who's the most like the most psychologically stable superhero?
Texans.
Don't tell me Superman.
No.
That guy's hiding something.
No, he had some issues.
You can tell, man.
Yeah. Texans ticket office, we're happy for you. I'm happy for Nick Caserio, winner number 4. Nick was looser at the press conference yesterday. This is a good coaching hire. If we're going to put the bad ones on his ticket, he's got to get the good ones on his ticket. What's so funny?
He said he is looser. For some reason, I just had this vision of, like, if he had walked in like, hippie gear.
Oh, yeah, like, or a fur coat. Like,
no, just, it's got to be hippie gear, because like, that'd be
headband.
The exact opposite. Yeah, rose-colored glasses and just flashing the peace sign.
Hey, man.
Peace and or deuces.
Yeah, right. So, Nick, are you happy about the hire? How could you not be, man? Let me tell you, man. At what point in the interview did you like to Nico, what point did I not like him, man?
It was more like the universe showed it to me. It was just, it wasn't as much something I realized as
he was looser yesterday. Yeah. He was funny yesterday at the press conference. All right, losers. We've already adjudicated the Denver issue. Denver was a big loser in all this. Loser number 2. Stephen A. Smith. Remember when the Texans fired Lovie Smith and the next day Stephen A. Smith said this?
The Houston Texans organization are an atrocity. They are an embarrassment. And as far as I'm concerned, if you're an African American and you aspire to be a head coach in the National Football League, there's 31 teams you should hope for. You should hope beyond God that the Houston Texans never call you. Not as long as that man is in there. Because it's an embarrassment, and something needs to be said about it.
Yeah, I, you know, the whole thing about that is it's I'm kind of open to whatever anybody said at the time they said, but I think a lot of people that had that take have now revised it, and I think fairly so when they say, okay, look, they did show an actual commitment to D'Amico Ryans and, you know, demonstrated that it wasn't just a matter of sticking a couple black guys in a position in which they couldn't win and then you're going to move on to whatever. If they've conceded that and said then that's good. That's what things that are bad should get better, hopefully, yeah, and ideally. There are some people that have decided that, like, nope, this is still a bad move for D'Amico Ryans because it's the Texans.
Because the Texans are not allowed to make good decisions.
Yes, there is no progress ever with anything. And the Texans also, by their own doing, the problem is when we get to the racial dynamic, it's through a lot of circumstances and lots of people's doings. They've gotten to a point where, okay, if they were going to do a hard reset, if they were going to do a tank, okay, they were either going to hire a white coach and get crushed for it, or hire a black coach and get crushed for it.
Because he's not going to be there long term.
Yeah, they were going to hire a coach that was really a patsy. And I think ideally they whiffed in hiring a patsy with David Culley.
Yeah, they could have kept him for 2 years.
If they could have hired a Lovie Smith for a couple years and then, you know, they still would have gotten crushed for that though too.
Yeah.
So it was, because of the circumstances, it was 100% a no-win situation. Yeah. That's where we were, and I'm just happy to be out of it.
I am too. We are all winners from that standpoint. Number three loser, Kyle Shanahan. He loses one of the best coaches on his staff, and I think you could argue maybe, I think D'Amico's in the argument for maybe the best coach Kyle Shanahan has had on his staff since he got to San Francisco. D'Amico Ryans as a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, that's tough. You know, I mean, he's twice now had a Robert Saleh and a D'Amico Ryans, and that's 4 years in a row that they've had a very solid defense, despite having an offensive-minded head coach.
Yeah.
Odd. So, and they're young coaches, too.
Yep.
Not some old, I shouldn't say old, but it wasn't like they brought in Wade Phillips.
Wink Martindale.
Or Vic Fangio or somebody like that to basically be the head coach of the defense. They were younger guys. That is something that, between what Caserio has said and what D'Amico has said, I think that they very much have a plan for how do we create and sustain a good offense, you know, and where maybe your head coach doesn't have that same level of offensive expertise, but he knows how to manage the offensive coordinators.
Last loser, Kenyon Green. His number 59 jersey has been hijacked.
Yeah.
It's been usurped. There's now a number 59 jersey that says Coach on the back of it, available in the team store.
I wonder, that's an
interesting one. Sir, you have a roommate. You are sharing number 59.
If you're a Kenyon Green, would you want to get a new number? Or would you just say, like, oh, okay, that's pretty cool. It's a whatever.
If my college number were available, then I would move into that. That's a logical move. That doesn't look like you're shying away from the...
So you can relive the glory of all the Aggie years, yeah.
Yeah, he was good there.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
Right.
He was good.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I wonder, though, too, because I think... Probably a lot of that was done, you know, without D'Amico obviously knowing about it. He wasn't here. He was trying to get his household together and everything and get him over here.
You mean the jersey they're selling was probably
on? That's a tricky one. You don't want to step in and be like, hey, by the way, ixnay on the urgy Jay that you just spent probably $20,000 tens of thousands of dollars on. Yeah.
To stock in the store.
Yeah.
I think the last thing you want to do is any new employee coming in is tell the team to stop doing something that's making money for them.
Stop the jubilation also.
right. I'm here to put a damper on the happiness I'm generating. Yeah.
But it might be a good rebirth for Kenyon too.
Yeah, he could use a refresh.
Yeah.
Not like he's coming off a great rookie year or anything.
I told you too, some coaches are pretty dumb in the NFL. There are some out there that might not realize that it's the same player looking at last year's film.
Right.
So in game planning.
Yeah.
I told you once, right, when we had a new...
I don't think D'Amico's that guy, but yeah.
We had a new D-line coach, Bob Karmelowicz, come in, and I went in to meet with him, and he wanted to show me some film from the previous year, and he showed me four of my bad plays, which were actually some other white dude. but he'd been watching this film of me for a while and made his judgment on me. I'm like, hey, listen, coach,
something strange going
that
on
bad
there.
Defensive lineman is not me.
That's
you
funny.
Son of a, yeah.
Oh, that had to feel good to point that out.
No, it was terrifying. Like, what am I getting into this year?
That's true.
It was
week 17. It would be one thing.
Terrifying.
Yeah, that's true. My bad.
Yeah.
My bad. All right, Payne and Pendergast, Football Friday. Nick Caserio was on with us earlier. Nick gave us some incredible insight into the interview process with D'Amico Ryans. When did you realize he was the guy during that Zoom interview? And we asked him about D'Amico trying to close the deal and become the next head coach of the Houston Texans. That's next.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Football Friday. D'Amico Ryans is the head coach of the Houston Texans. We interviewed Nick Caserio earlier today. He was on with Seth and myself. You can get that interview, Odyssey Rewind. You can get it on our podcast page, Payne and Pendergast. Download and subscribe. We talked quite a bit about the interview process with D'Amico Ryans. D'Amico Ryans jumping on a Zoom with Nick Caserio, Callan, Hannah, McNair shortly after a practice on a Friday, 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago today, right 30 minutes after a practice leading into the divisional round against the Dallas Cowboys, Seth asked Nick Caserio earlier today, when in that interview did you realize that D'Amico Ryans is your guy?
It was very organic, and we mentioned this yesterday. I mean, I think he might have mentioned something to somebody after the press conference. He literally raced off the practice field. I think he had like 30 minutes, and he just got in his office, and he got his suit on, and we just started talking. I think sometimes everybody gets caught up in these interviews, having a bunch of books or a PowerPoint presentation or something ridiculous. In the end, it's really meant to be conversational. Give the candidate an opportunity to learn about us learn about him. Then we'll do a deep dive into football and some of the specifics. You know, what do you look for offensively? What's important defensively? What's your philosophy? You know, it was interesting having a discussion with him about tackling, just kind of using that as an example. And I mean, look, we're not proud of this, but we weren't a very good tackling team this year. I mean, it was very poor, and all of us are responsible for that. So it's interesting. And conversely, San Francisco was one of the best tackling teams in the league. I think they allowed the least amount of yards after contact of any team in the league. So we had a discussion. So just tackling, that's something obviously you guys are really good at it. It's something you guys – and he went through kind of, well, here's how we view it. Here's how we practice it. Here's how we drill it. And it was interesting, kind of his philosophy on it. And it's like, okay, then you marry that up with how they play. So then you're starting to see some things match up. So it was a very organic conversation. It went for, you know, a few hours or a little bit more than a few hours, whatever it was. And we just kind of kept going back and forth. And you touch on a myriad of different topics. It's not one particular thing. There's a football element, obviously. There's a personal element. There's a staff element, which I would say the first interview, you don't necessarily pull out a spreadsheet and go through like four or five deep at each position. I mean, that's probably more of a follow-up, but it's just generally speaking, what type of coaches are you looking for? What's important? So you're really just trying to get a general outline of the person, the individual, how they think, what they think is important coaching-wise, what are their principles. And then you learn about just the person and what makes him tick. And I would say it was very apparent in that, I would say, initial conversation. I mean, this guy is basically the way everybody describes him. And there's not one person that we talk to, you know, because we have to do our job and do our research, understand that he has a history here and he played for the organization. And, you know, that was however many years ago. But we have a responsibility to make sure we accumulate as much information as possible. But literally everybody we talked to, I mean, it was the same thing over and over and over. So when you start to see a little bit of a repeat cadence and then you match that up with the discussion, you start to go, okay, yep, I mean, this looks like it's headed in the right direction. So there was a certain element of patience that we had to display because of the parameters and rules that were in place. But in the end, I think we're all happy with the end result, and you know it's time to go to work.
It's a long cut, but it was, Seth, that was two-pronged insight. Insight into D'Amico Ryans and the interview specifically him as the interview subject, as somebody who kind of nerds out on the hiring process in the NFL, the general outlay of a first interview with a prospective head coach, that's the first time I've ever heard a GM lay it out that way.
Yeah.
We don't have a spreadsheet. We're trying to find out these things, and then we're trying to find out about the person. That was really cool. I don't know if the audience liked it, but I liked that cut a lot.
I thought, especially I think because with Nick, you know, a lot of what he does is pretty methodical and analytical, and you wonder, okay, where is that balanced out necessarily? And I think it's just a lot of it is, you know, when football guys get together and guys that are wired the same way, like I think Nick and D'Amico are wired in the same way in a lot of important ways. It feels like they just hit it off. And you start having these conversations where, you know, one guy says one thing and it sparks something in your brain, or it lets you see, like with the tackling, there was very obvious that Nick was very intrigued by the fact that the 49ers had a method for teaching better tackling. And it's what I've told you all along, Sean, which is that this is exactly, nothing drives me crazier when I hear a football coach say that not being able to tackle in practice is one of the reasons they don't tackle well. Like, well, there's other teams out there that also aren't allowed to hit in practice, and they're tackling well. So where the hell is your excuse? The 49ers, like several other teams out there, have used rugby-style tackling and drills and everything for a long time. Because back when they started changing the practice rules, some smart coaches realized, oh, you know who tackles a whole bunch without being able to wear helmets or anything is rugby players. So let's have at it. That's why the 49ers tackle so well. And honestly, some of the other things that go into that, and I wonder, I'd like to talk to D'Amico about this. When Nick started talking about decision-making on the field and guys being able to hand it, that's big in rugby. Which is because you know the coaches aren't out there. You're not sending in a play. So the captain in rugby is a really, really big deal. Like, you got to trust him to make decisions. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think there are a lot of different perspectives that guys have, to where I think philosophically Nick and D'Amico see eye to eye on a lot of things. But when it comes to the technical side of things, there are things D'Amico just knows that Nick hasn't been exposed to.
Which
is really cool.
Yep. The interview went a few hours. He said a few hours and said more than a few hours. I'd love to know what the average first interview for a prospective NFL head coach is.
Yeah.
Is that a norm, you know, for it to be a few hours?
Right, when they're also, those guys are in a playoff run.
Yeah.
Like, what is the norm there, and what have you budgeted for time?
Yeah, yeah.
It was on a Friday, was it not?
It was.
Yeah. So on a Friday, usually, and a lot of NFL teams try not to deviate too much from their norm when they're in the playoffs, including like Belichick. You would think Belichick must work 21 hours days during the playoffs. Their feeling is that, look, if we've got the right process for preparing for a game, then we're not going to change that all of a sudden for a big game. We're just going to, maybe we'll be that much more focused just naturally, but we're not going to miss out on sleep and everything.
And the hay is kind of in the barn at that point.
So Friday, the game plan is in. You've installed everything. Yeah. There's only so much. You don't want to. There's a danger on a Friday night that if you start thinking too much, you're going to change things and make it harder for the players.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that D'Amico probably had extra time to just kind of expand a little bit.
Nick Caserio said at the press conference yesterday that D'Amico, at the end of the interview, these are my words now, saying kind of tried to close the deal. You know, at the end of the interview, he said, they asked him, do you have any last thoughts you want to give us here before we hang up? And he said, yeah, bring me home. You know, I want this job. I asked Nick about the reaction to that. Is that a normal thing for coaches to do at the end of a first interview with a team?
Every interview kind of takes on its own life. I think the one thing that was apparent is just how sincere and how heartfelt he was about this place, the organization, and the opportunity to be the coach here. And literally, it was kind of a, you have anything else you just want to leave us with? You have anything else you want to add? Because really, we want to hear from the candidate, like hear their perspective. Like, nobody wants to listen to me like for 2 hours talk on a Zoom and not let the candidate talk. So I'll do that on this show. But anyways, so we gave him the opportunity there at the end. And then literally, like, we hung up and it was kind of like, not like a surreal moment, but it was almost like, man, this is everything that he's about, and it's genuine and it's sincere. And everybody that's been around him sees that. So it's very apparent. So we kind of recalibrated, because what we did is, however many candidates we interviewed, seven or eight, we go through the process, and we kind of had a system in place, and, you know, you have different criteria of different traits, and then we kind of talk through each candidate. What do we like? What are some strengths? What are some weaknesses? What are actually some follow-up questions that maybe we didn't cover that we could hit the next time? So just like you do after any game, all right, what happened in a game? All right, what happened? Here's what went well. Here are some things we have to improve. Here are some things maybe we can do better next time. So that was a discussion, and we all just kind of sat there and we're like, wow. I mean, that was, I mean, it was eye-opening, but it wasn't surprising necessarily because of, I would say, all the information that we had that described, like, who he is as a person. Because in the end, like we talked about, I mean, I know everybody wants to talk X and O's, but, and D'Amico articulated this as well, I thought, very well yesterday. It's about people, it's about connection, and it's about getting players to do what you ask them to do. And how do you get them to that point? You pour into them, you coach them hard, you have a standard of performance that everybody has to adhere to, but there has to be a little bit of give and take.
So that was Nick on D'Amico closing the deal.
Right, and, you know, I think this is where D'Amico having been a player helps a lot, because Nick also mentioned at a different point about how all these people say so many great things about him, and you keep hearing it over and over and over again from all these different people from different teams, from different times in his career, different circumstances, and as a coach as well. I think the one advantage maybe you have in going after a former player or evaluating a former player is that you've got a lot of objective data on him, just about that kind of stuff, the mm-hmm. leadership stuff, where I think when people are talking about a player and not even thinking about it in the context of whether he could be a coach or not, a lot of those things come out and you get an unfiltered opinion about a guy from all these different places. You've got more data, you know, and you don't necessarily have that with assistant coaches. And then when you get into the interview process, the problem with the interview process is, for one, like we know if you've interviewed people, that it's easy to present a false front sometimes. And the part that's really interesting is that for D'Amico to fake what he talks about, it's not the stuff that anybody who would be inclined to fake it would actually talk about.
Right.
Like, for the most part, the phonies as defensive or offensive coordinators, the guys that don't make it as a head coach, they want to be known as geniuses. Like, they really need you to know how smart they are.
Scheme it up.
Yeah, yeah. Which isn't to say that, like, there are some geniuses that is what they bank
sure.
on and everything. But, like, I don't think there's many that necessarily, not coaches, not NFL head coaches, that focus so much on talking about pouring themselves into another player and helping them be as good as they are. But if they do, you don't necessarily have the data. Like, how do you prove that as a coach that was what made you different as an assistant coach? Whereas with a player, like, you've got quotes from going back to Brian Cushing's rookie year.
Yeah.
From Brian Cushing himself about how selfless D'Amico was and how much he cared about helping him and so many teammates like that. That he's authentic. He's genuine. That's
yep.
that's the real deal.
Final segment coming up. We'll find out what the guys got going on In the Loop today. I think I can guess, but we'll talk to Landry Locker. Wade Smith in for John Lopez today. So Wade was out at the press conference yesterday as well. So looking forward to hearing his thoughts. I think the one big thing you should feel really, really good about coming away from the last 24 hours. We'll tell you what that is on our way out next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you. Here was D'Amico Ryans yesterday on the collaborative effort with him and Nick Caserio.
What I've learned about this part of it, the head coach, what I've learned the most about it, it's all about collaboration. Right? And that's what I learned the most, and that's what excites me to be here working with Nick and being able to truly be aligned and build a team together. Right? When we're scouting players, right, it's the scouts looking at a player, it's coaches looking at a player, everybody having their opinion, but we all can come to an agreement. If it works for us or not, it's okay, but everybody has a voice and everybody will be heard when we talk about players.
So I know when D'Amico's name first came up for this job that people assumed, like, okay, well, he comes from San Francisco and Shanahan and Kubiak. There's no way he's going to want Nick Caserio as his general manager here. They come from two totally different schools of thought.
Yeah.
There was that assumption that was made. You have been out in front of all this saying that just based on their personalities and their intellect, they would be really, really good at working together. And I agree with you on that. I mean, what I hope is if you're somebody who felt that way, that even if you were skeptical that they're going to work together, like I don't know what more they could have said or done over the last 24 to 48 hours to make you feel better about their desire to collaborate on building a Super Bowl winner.
Yeah, after that, it's just all, okay, in the absence of drama, then it looks like that's what the deal is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do think, for whatever reason, we've been conditioned because of drama in the front office to want to know, you know, things like who has final say on this or that. And there just genuinely are a lot of NFL front offices that don't operate that way, that are a genuine collaborative effort. And then it's like any other work environment. It's when things go bad that all of a sudden it starts mattering who has final say.
Yeah.
Because what that means is that you've had unresolvable disagreements, you know, and there's no give and take. And a lot of times that ends up because either one or both people are just too obstinate and they can't have a working relationship together. So it doesn't have to be a I've got final say and this is how it's going to be type of environment. I think at the NFL, the size of the organizations are such that you don't have to have all the formality that a lot of people want sometimes when they look at the structure, the organizational chart.
Yep. Trailer Wheel and Frame text page. Trailer Wheel and Frame. 8691. Was Damian Pierce there yesterday? Any word on how he feels about his new head coach? Damian Pierce was not there yesterday. My guess is he probably works out back in his home state of Georgia or maybe back at Florida in Gainesville where he went to school. I think it's safe to say we can just Mad Lib in this is Damian Pierce's answer to how he feels.
Yo, hey, H-Town. Hey, it's your boy DP. Hey, he's the newest running back. We coming to H-Town. Hey, I'm here for a good time and a long time. You feel me? Hey, let's go, babe. I'm ready to work. Appreciate everybody. Let's get their work in, man. Let's go.
Yeah, Damian doesn't have a whole lot of meh in his gunny sack.
I think that's his answer to everything.
No, I guarantee you he's never replied not right to anything.
Exactly, exactly.
Hey, Damian, how do you feel about your new coach? Well, we'll just take it day by day and see what happens. How things unfold.
I cannot wait to hear Damian Pierce talk about DeMeco Ryans. Mm-hmm. They are going to be fast friends.
We got to watch some of the old school highlights. I think sometimes people might be fooled by DeMeco Ryans' calm demeanor and forget just how much the embodiment of like the perfect, this is your perfect like high school captain of your high school football team, in that on the field he was an absolute monster, like a menace, but then off the field was just helping old ladies across the street.
He's great. I did that
running down purse snatchers.
I went through that exercise this week of looking at old DeMeco Ryans' YouTube highlights.
Yeah.
And because I needed to be reminded, like, oh, yeah, this guy, certifiable beast. He was a monster. He was great. So, I can't wait. I can't wait to see this whole thing get started here pretty soon. Got a combine coming up.
Like the captain of the football team in Stranger Things is, I feel like that guy gets a lot of flack.
I have not watched Stranger Things.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's kind of like class. He's got leadership skills and attributes, but he gets a little upset because he feels like his girlfriend has been wronged. But I feel like they go into total, like, oh, big old mean jock. Like, dude, he's trying to protect his girlfriend.
Along those lines, you mentioned this off the air during the last break.
I'm going to get a lot of hate for that one.
Tyler Milner, our afternoon producer, retweeted last. I don't have the tweet in front of me, but there was a clip of DeMeco. There was at one point in the press conference, DeMeco was gushing about his wife and his family, but particularly
he said
his,
something about her having a beautiful spirit.
Beautiful spirit.
To which Tyler came home and apparently his wife said, so, I don't know, how come you've never complimented my beautiful spirit?
Right. Yeah, DeMeco's made things a whole lot harder on husbands in the Houston area.
Coming up on Valentine's Day, too.
I know. The timing couldn't have been worse.
Only one thing you can do is go to Zadok.
Yeah.
Listen, my friends, you don't have the skill with words that DeMeco does. Nor the authenticity of spirit.
Right.
Go to Zadok.
So just buy them. Yeah. Get some jewelry. Landry will learn. Landry's going to get married here in the near future.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I'll learn.
Have you told Holly about her beautiful spirit?
I do that every day, man.
You do?
Yeah, it's very blessed.
That's how you got engaged.
Very good spirit.
Like poems. Yeah. What would she do if you started leaving poems for him every morning?
I don't know. I don't think she. I mean, poems probably not. Notes maybe she would like.
Let's say they're bad poems though. They're like, and you're trying real hard, but they're like limericks, and they're just really bad poems. Would she tell you, or would she? Do you think she?
I think you can just base the reaction on it. You know, you can usually read women pretty well, whether it's like really hits or not. So she might, she probably wouldn't say it sucked, but I would be able to read between the lines.
Do you do dinner time confessions with her?
No.
Okay. There's nothing to confess, right?
No confessions. Yeah. 100% honesty. Confession.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing excellent, man. That was a hell of a press conference yesterday. I don't want to overreact, but it's the best press conference I've ever seen. Seriously.
You're not overreacting.
No, and I mean, it had everything. Like, it covered every layer, and there is coaches speak, but there's elaboration on the coaches speak. Yeah. You know, I think we give coaches the benefit of the doubt sometimes, and you say, well, they're not saying anything because, you know, they want to keep it close to the best. Well, I don't think there's much depth to some of them. They don't have much to say. They can't go as in-depth as D'Amico did yesterday. So I felt great about it. I don't know. I just don't see how this doesn't work. And I don't mean, like, you know, I'm going to say that they're going to win the Super Bowl or guarantee like a certain amount of success, but D'Amico Ryans, whether he leaves here 20 years from now as one of the best coaches in franchise history, or whether he leaves 4 or 5 years from now and it doesn't go as well as we'd hoped, the organization is going to be better off when he left, in better shape when he left it than when he arrived. And that's all you can ask for.
You know, I think that's where I get frustrated sometimes is I think when people are too adamant about having to hire an offensive coach, when you have that set in your brain, what you do is you close yourself off potentially from a genuinely special situation. And the vast majority of coaching hires made in the NFL are shoehorn decisions. So like, well, we got to do this and we got to do that, and these are the guys that are available. And boom, you've shoehorned a bad head coach into that job. If you open yourself up to the potential that, okay, some people genuinely do have a little, whatever the it factor is, then we have to account for that. And I think that's the scenario.
Yeah.
It's a good point, Landry.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a good point to feel like it's hard to see the downside at this point.
No,
like the extreme downside.
Yep, absolutely.
As far as confessions, I can tell you guys real quick.
Yeah.
It's one of the best life lessons I learned. I was a freshman in college, freshman football player. Mm-hmm. Training camp had broken. I hear you, Ben. 60 seconds. And the senior defensive lineman, I won't say his name because his current wife might not appreciate this. He came in to practice one morning, or came into the meeting room, and he was talking to one of the other seniors. He's like, yep, I got to go talk to my girlfriend after. And he's like, why? Because I cheated on her last night, so I'm going to take care of it, nip that in the bud. And I was like, are you breaking up with her? He's like, no, I can't be dishonest about that. And then boom, baller, just did it. Like walked over and just, right after practice, walked over and told her. No decision in his mind about it. Like, that's just what you do. I was like, holy crap.
Wow.
This is
pretty liberating to be wired that way.
This is not the version I've seen of from certain male role models of mine. Holy crap. I got to change some things.
It's a liberating way to be wired.
Yeah,
man.
And he was like so at peace with it. He was like, yeah, I got to go tell her. I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
So good for that dude. I'm going to call him today. It was an awesome life lesson.
Landry, we look forward to you and Smitty. Smitty in for John Lopez. Good stuff. All right, Seth, antibodies to you.
Antibodies.
All right, we're done. We're out of here. Have a great weekend, everybody. It is D'Amico Week continuing here on Sports Radio 610.
Never boring on this show.
Antibodies to you.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.